Enough for now on interest rates. I'm David Brancaccio. That little pop you may have heard yesterday at 11 Pacific noon Mountain was a U.S. interest rate going up a quarter of a point. It's the Federal Reserve's campaign to slow economic growth to fight inflation. Diane Swonk, chief economist of the tax audit and advisory firm KPMG, was watching as the Federal Reserve boss spoke. Morning, Diane.
Good morning.
What do you make of the statement that accompanied the decision from our central bankers yesterday?
Well, Jay Powell was pretty optimistic that they were closer to the end than the beginning of rate hikes, and this may be a pause. You know, he said point blank, we're going to do it on a meeting by meeting basis. But at the end of the day, the markets are pricing in a 90% chance that they don't raise again in June. And that is a relief if we're at the peak. The next phase is the hard part is holding at that peak for much longer on interest rates, which the Fed also intends to do.
It's hard to tell, though, if we're really at that peak.
Exactly. And one of the points that Jay Powell made is although this Fed staff expects a recession, he does not. But he did underscore that the labor market remains, in his words, extremely tight. And what he did also point out is that even though he wasn't against wage gains, very careful to point that out, they were still running hotter than what is consistent with inflation getting back to 2%. He also noted that profits margins had to narrow a bit, so he did put both of them in there. But I think you saw a more optimistic Jay Powell yesterday than perhaps the overall Fed staffers are.
Diane Swonk at KPMG, chief economist there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stock in a regional bank, PacWest, is down 43%. This after the California-based bank said it's looking for partners to shore up its financial position that it still calls solid. People made a whopping 274 million trips in China during that country's Labor Day holiday that ended yesterday, more than before pandemic. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pack has this.
The five-day holiday ended Wednesday, but even today when I came back from neighboring Hangzhou, the rail station was still packed. This was China's first major holiday in 3 years where COVID isn't a concern. But the U.S. didn't see a surge in Chinese tourists because there are still limited flights between the U.S. and China from geopolitical tensions. Here in Shanghai, the waterfront area, and the Great Wall in Beijing saw people standing shoulder to shoulder. On top of eastern China's Yellow Mountain, the hotels were fully booked, leaving some tourists who missed the last cable car to sleep in public toilets. Spending more than doubled from last year and on par with pre-pandemic levels. This is a boost for the wider economy in China, since American and European consumers are buying less from Chinese factories. The question is, can China rely on its consumers to drive the country's economic recovery? Many people saw their salaries stagnate or cut during the pandemic. Unemployment is kind of high. And the property sector is still weak, which affects consumer confidence. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pack for Marketplace.
A team of researchers in Switzerland has been counting and found that by late 2022, only 9% of firms registered in Group of Seven, or EU countries, had actually shut down a subsidiary in Russia following Moscow's war on Ukraine. Simon Evenet and Niccolo Pisani found the quit rate highest for U.S. firms, 16%, of German-registered firms, just over 5%, had formally closed a Russian arm. Many other companies have scaled things down. Russia did issue a decree last fall that stops foreign banks from dumping their Russian assets unless President Putin says it's okay. One U.S. firm that's out of Russia is the chicken place KFC. Here now, a few moments visiting what is there instead. It's called Rostik's. The BBC's Johnny Tickle went over to one in Moscow.
I've just entered the restaurant. This is the Rostik's on Tverskaya Street, which is the main thoroughfare through the center of the city. And actually heads straight down to the Kremlin. The area is currently undergoing preparations for the Victory Day parade, which will be televised around the country on May 9th, and I can see a few different military vehicles going past out of the window of the restaurant. I've got to say, visually, it all looks very similar to KFC.
It's red and white.
Packaging, the colour scheme, the interior design, the menu, it's basically a carbon copy.
But what's the food like?
As has become the norm in Western countries, most fast food restaurants here in Russia have an abundance of touchscreens for ordering, meaning there's really no need to speak to an employee. Rustics is no different. Right now, I'm ordering some chicken strips, fries and a drink.
Because Coca-Cola and Pepsi are no longer providing their drinks to Russia, the drink I'm having is called Eververse. It's sort of a fake cola knockoff. It's not very close to real Coca-Cola, but it's actually not too bad.
My order number has just been called, so I'm off to collect my food.
So I've just had a taste of the chicken and my fries, and I can say it tastes exactly the same as KFC. Not exactly the KFC we have in the UK or in the US, but the KFC that was here in Russia previously, which I'd say is not as good, but it's still pretty nice.
It's nothing special, but Russians craving a taste of KFC will be satisfied by the quality of food here at Rustics, and I bet nobody will even tell the difference between the old restaurant and the new.
In Moscow, I'm the BBC's Johnny Tickle for Marketplace.
And Krispy Kreme isn't in Russia anymore, but there's Crunchy Dream. Starbucks became Stars Coffee, but listen to what McDonald's became. Here's the translation. Tasty, and that's it. In Ukraine today, I counted at least 11 legit KFC restaurants open as late as 11 o'clock tonight, by the way. David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.